It has been said that since the end of the Cold War about 30 years ago, the number one human rights violation around the world, consistently, is the persecution of Christians, particularly in the communist countries like China and Cuba, and in some of the Muslim-dominated countries. Wendy Wright is the president of Christian Freedom International. She joins us now on Vocal Point to give us an update on what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ in some of the parts of this world. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Wendy, thanks so much for joining us again. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.
Sure. And before we get into the issue of other countries giving us an update, how about just a quick comment on the fact that the founders of America envisioned this land as a nation where religious freedom would be paramount?
Well, that's very true. And in fact, in many other countries, people look to the United States to be the beacon of religious freedom. And that's why so many people are trying to come to America, is because of the freedom that we have here. And it does concern us that as persecution is spreading around the world, that we are also seeing some encroachment here in the United States. And that's one reason why we're involved in defending our brothers and sisters around the world, because we know that it will only spread otherwise.
All right. Now, how about an update? First of all, Ukraine is not necessarily the Ukraine. The invasion of Ukraine by Russia is not necessarily viewed as a religious conflict per se, but it's my understanding there are a lot of evangelicals in Ukraine, perhaps as much as, you know, anywhere proportionately in Europe.
Yes, in fact, Ukraine was like a sending off point for evangelicals to reach into Russia and surrounding countries to spread the gospel. I was just over in Poland, and I met with pastors who were from Ukraine. They were coming into Poland to get supplies, going back to bring the supplies in and bringing refugees out. And they told stories of how the Ukrainians would just move into other countries like Russia for a job. They'd look around and ask, where's a local church? And there wasn't one, so they would start one. And I just can't help but think that the war that is going on in Ukraine right now, it includes a spiritual war. And because Russia, as it is expanding, as it did expand into Ukraine starting in 2014, it would try to crush the burgeoning evangelical movement in Ukraine. The Orthodox Russian Church was the only one that was allowed. New churches were not allowed to meet. Old churches had to register under the new regime, and yet the new regime, the Russian regime, would never give approval. So there is definitely an element of persecution that's occurring in the Russian war in Ukraine.
Okay, how about a comment on Nigeria?
Nigeria is the country where more Christians are killed every year than every other country combined. I'm sad to say that continues even up to this year. And on Pentecost Sunday, a Catholic church was invaded during the service, during the Mass, and Christians were gunned down. Those who tried to flee were killed as they exited the church. The building was just filled with pools of blood. And one reason why this is allowed to happen is because the government of Nigeria has allowed these massacres to occur without impunity, without really even trying to track down the people who are committing them. In fact, these killers on Pentecost Sunday just sauntered away afterwards, walked away. No one tried to stop them. And what's disappointing is that the United States had declared that Nigeria was a country of particular concern when it comes to religious freedom and religious persecution. That's important because that then allows for sanctions to be put in place against Nigeria to pressure the government to do something. But just shockingly, Secretary of State Blinken last year, as he was on a trip to Nigeria, he dropped Nigeria from the list of countries of particular concern with no explanation. No one can understand why he would do that. And sadly, that just seems to have allowed a green light for those that are persecuting Christians to continue in their slaughters.
Do you see any difference between President Biden versus President Trump, former President Trump, when it comes to the persecution of Christians in these other places?
Under the Trump administration and under Secretary Pompeo, they made religious freedom a top priority in foreign policy. They saw it as integral to the United States foreign policy and did a number of things to not only bring attention to the issue, but to address the issue with other countries. And sadly, we've seen religious freedom be downgraded under Secretary Blinken in the Biden administration. And we see the effect of that. We see that persecution is increasing in countries, that attacks on Christians appear to have gone up. And we don't see the Biden administration doing anything in regards to these countries, like bringing sanctions in order to try and stem the tide of violence against Christians.
How about other comments about any other country related to Islam? You know, Islam-dominated countries where it comes to, you know, are Christians being persecuted?
Well, I would like to bring some stories of hope, because Jesus did say that we will be persecuted. And so many of these Christians, especially converts to Christ, they recognize that this is a part and parcel of becoming a Christian. So when they are being persecuted, they see it as identifying with Christ. I met a man in a Muslim-majority country who was an imam for over 50 years. I call him Jadra. And he said he never lacked for a place to live or for food, but he never felt peace. And one night, Jesus appeared to him in a dream and told him to follow. He said that Jesus spoke to him and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. Follow me." So when he woke up, he sought for the sacred writings that predated the Quran. And what he found is the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he realized that Jesus is the one that he had been looking for. So Jadra would go back into the mosque to lead the prayers as the imam, and then he would speak of Jesus. And his nephew was the first one to abuse him, held him hostage in his home, beat him to try and get him to revert back to Islam. And then he told a radical imam about Jadra. That imam beat him, brought a crowd, a mob of 5,000 people to intimidate and attack him. And then suddenly the imam was paralyzed on his left side. And Jadra was able to escape. He had another time when he was being beaten. They threw him into a sack.
Wait. Which one was paralyzed? The radical, the anti-Jesus one, or the one that was pro-Jesus?
Yes. The radical imam who was persecuting the imam who had become a Christian.
Experienced temporary paralysis and couldn't continue with what he was doing. Wow, that's amazing.
Couldn't continue beating him, yes. Another time, Jadra was thrown into a sack to be thrown into a river to die, and it just miraculously the sack opened, and he was able to escape. And this imam continues to speak out for Jesus. Now, he used to have thousands of followers when he was a Muslim imam, and so his goal is to reach all of his former followers, to share Christ with them and to see them believe in Jesus. And a number of his previous followers as a Muslim have now come to believe in Jesus. And he has asked God to allow him to live until he's 120. He's now in his late 70s, so that he can reach all of his former followers before he dies.
Well, I don't want to ask you what country he's from, but could you say what region of the world he's from?
Yes, he's in Asia, in a Muslim-dominant country.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Okay, shifting gears, how about persecution of Christians in China?
Yes, China continues to crack down by instituting these restrictions, such as children under 18 are not allowed to be taught anything about religion or Christianity, whether it's in their schools or even by their own parents. They are children are told in schools that they should reveal to their teachers if they are being taught anything at home about Jesus or any other religion. And there are pastors who've been arrested and are still being held in prison merely for trying to live out their faith in Christ, and because they won't bow the knee to the Chinese Communist Party. The restrictions only continue, and that's a reason why U.S. foreign policy should be taking China very seriously as an aggressor in communism, and communism means atheism, and it will not allow any other ideology to flourish under its rule.
It's ironic, though, too, because it's my understanding there's a lot of Christians in China.
Yes, you know, Christianity continues to grow, and isn't that the story of the church throughout history, that where there's persecution, that Christianity generally will grow? And so, yes, we're hearing of the underground church. People are hungry to learn of Jesus. I spoke with a man who's from China. He goes back regularly. He goes to rural areas where he's been invited and will meet with house churches. The place will be filled, and they will pepper him with questions 8 hours, 10 hours a day without a break. They're just hungry to know Jesus, even though they know that this could carry a very high price for them.
How about a comment about Hong Kong?
Yeah, it's very disturbing to see what's happening in Hong Kong. China had promised that Hong Kong could flourish as a democracy with freedom, including freedom of religion. And yet, shockingly, just recently, the Chinese-controlled government in Hong Kong arrested the cardinal bishop, who's a renowned, world-renowned Christian leader, who's truly seeks to follow Christ and has even called his own church leadership, the Vatican, to account for not standing up to the Chinese government. And now his voice is being silenced behind bars, but certainly not silenced as far as the reverberation of his message.
How are things for the Christians in India?
In India, the persecution continues with the enforcement or power of the Modi government. President Modi of India, he's in his second term. He came from a radical Hindu background. In fact, so radical that he was not allowed into the United States. The United States had sanctioned him individually as a violent threat. And yet when he became president, the United States had to allow him in as the head of state. But he has not relented. His government has not relented in their radical policies. And sadly, Christians throughout India are facing violent persecution for their beliefs. Individual Christians can be just in their home and praying, and mobs will come in to attack them. Police will arrest them for under accusations of trying to convert other people. And women and children are also attacked just for being Christian. One young man had acid thrown on him, a Christian young man, acid thrown on him, and he died of his injuries. But he died praising Jesus. He never recanted or denied his faith. He went to his death knowing that that was not the end of his life, but just the beginning of being one-on-one with Jesus.
Wow, this is amazing, these stories. Okay, we have less than a minute to go. How are things for Christians in Burma?
Well, in Burma, the military government is attacking Christians as well as others. Thousands have fled into Thailand. We have a school right on the border of Burma training Christian youth who have fled Burma. These are persecuted youth who we're training them to be biblical leaders with job skills and life skills so that they can be Christian leaders to their own community. I encourage people to go to our website, www.christianfreedom.org. You can read more about how Christian Freedom International is training these persecuted Christian youth how to be leaders to their own communities.
Wow. Well, we're basically out of time. How about a 10-second closing thought? You know, there's a high price to pay, I guess, to be a faithful Christian in this world today.
Yeah, we have much to learn from those who are persecuted for their faith. And their stories, their lives are role models for us, because as they follow Christ, we can witness their example. And I think that will help to embolden us to live our faith in America today, and especially as things may become more dicey for us here in the United States.
Wendy Wright, thank you so much for being with us. ChristianFreedom.org for more information. All the best, Wendy. Thanks again.
Thank you.